They're coming for you, Buck. Chapter 21. That's close. Let's see here. Jessica, pray for us. Oh, you're eating. Never mind. Lee, I love you, Lee. Pray for us loud and proud as we finish out Revelation. Anybody have finals this week? I'm so sorry. We'll keep praying for you too. All right. Chapter 21, Ryan Martin's 1 through 4. All right, let's pause there. 1 through 2. Then I saw, you've seen that multiple times, at least 8 significant different scene changes through here, a new heaven and a new earth. This is something different than is. Okay, this is not a repurposed, more green earth. This is something brand new. The old has gone, passed away, and the sea was no more. There is something here in the new heaven and new earth that sets up for us an entirely different way of living. No water, no hydro, what do they call it? Hydraulic cycle? Hydroelectric?
No.
Hydraulic?
Hydrologic.
Hydrologic, that's the word. No cycle like that. And so it's just, you've got to think very different. You can't, what's the movie with the epic movie with the blue people that fly around? Avatar. Yeah, you can't think that it's just like Earth a little better that way. This is something new, and you have to remember in these two chapters, this revelation that is coming to John is like taken in through the eyeballs of the eternal state with Jesus and God reigning forever in roughly 40 verses or 42 verses. So it is a picture of something I don't think we can grasp, and I think when we enter into that, it's exponentially beyond whatever you think you can put your hand or mind around right here. So you have to imagine that here, that this is just through the roof in what's happening here. So no water, that tells me it's different than what was happening in the 1,000-year reign with that city, that where there was still some of those things, even as tainted as they were through judgment, there was those still existed, and now it doesn't. And a holy city coming down out of heaven, some people say, was this a suspended city during the 1,000-year reign? So, like, you can see the impending alien force of Jesus above, like, he's coming soon. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's a stretch. I think it's something replacing something. Verse 3 and 4, Michael, 3 and 4. Does that ring true to anything you've heard before in your Bible? That phraseology there at the end? It should. I will be their God and they will be my people. Okay? What was passed down there in a shadow form, a governing form, this is our new relationship form, is now literally the fulfillment of how it should be. You're going to see a garden in here. You're going to see from garden to garden we go. From garden to garden we go. That which was, you know, crazy and chaotic and corrupt and Satan's around, is he's gone and forever. And the way that we're supposed to be with him is now in place. That's the extremes here. And he will be with us, and we will be his people. He doesn't have a form. He won't be like bigger, buffer Jesus. Okay? He won't be white-bearded, whatever. I can't tell you what that'll be like to experience him in his presence fully. Okay? I don't have the capacity, and Scripture can't even contain that. So if you think containment, you're thinking too small here. Okay? This is good for, read for, Michael. Tell us, this is hopeful right here.
He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anywhere, for the former things have passed away.
No tears, no death, no mourning, no crying. What's the last one?
Pain. Does that sound good? Does that sound hopeful today? I hope it does, because all of us experience that probably in some form every day, and there's a world for sure outside these walls where the church needs to be the church, and they need hope of that. Now, let me remind you of the diamond of what we get. John Piper says in his book, small little book, God is the Gospel. He talks about the facets of what we get. This is just a facet. Okay, so in our evangelism, in our sharing of the good news and what we're helping people to, we can scare them with a concept of hell, which is true. We can overwhelm them with a concept of heaven, which is true, and talk about these things. But those are not primarily what you get as a Christian. That's not the end goal. And for a long time, people operate out of that. I just want to go to heaven. You know, and they almost lessen it. Like, I'm just ready to go home. It's like, I'm just ready to be with the Lord and be in his presence and with him and let him be my God and he be, you know, I be his people. That's a facet. That's one little facet of the diamond of no pain, no tear, no death, no mourning, no crying. Okay, and so I think we help people in educating them and equipping them if they're saints in our growing them up. Matthew, the great commission there at the end, in your going, because of the authority that's been given to Jesus, make disciples. That's the command. That's the only command there. How do you do that? Baptizing and teaching. In our teaching, this is good for people to know. And even with kids, this is very difficult because they hold on to big extremes in their little capacities. Cooper's very afraid of hell. And when we started talking to him, that's what started the conversation of Jesus for him. He heard about that and was like, mm-mm. And this sounds really good too. And we keep trying to say your hope is in someone that is more than those things. And that's really hard to do because everybody he likes his dad and his mom, and we are kind a lot of the time, right? We're strong some of the time, but even we fail him. And so I think his little mind and capacity is like, I'm supposed to have, the only thing I know that loves me unconditionally is my parents, but even then we have hard times and I don't like them sometimes. Like, you know, that's just hard for people to understand, but it's the truth. And I think we undersell the gospel if we just stop here and go, do you want to go to heaven? Or ask the question, you ever heard this? If you were to die today, where would you go? Which is a great question, but I think it limits. If it's only the way in to talk bigger about the gospel, then that's good. If it's your evangelism question, and if they don't answer it right, then they don't get out of hell free card. We're lessening the good news, okay? Because this is a place where these are true, okay? He's going to wipe away every tear. No more sadness. No more conflict within yourself. No more shame. No more guilt. No more mourning. Anybody ever lost someone? That's difficult. Not going to happen. Not going to lose anyone. Not going to lose anyone. No crying. You ever been sad for something that happened? How people treat you? How things you did? Nope. It's not going to be there. No pain. Man. No pain. I still got some years left, but I'm 36. And I came away from a practice, one soccer practice, and still been hurting for 2 days. No more pain. That'll be good. And that's minimal. That's like workout pain. Think about people. Think about the folks with chronic pain. I think that's hopeful for them. I don't want it to be the ultimate thing, but I think that's hopeful. I think that's good news. Because all those things have gone. 5 and 6. Jessica, are you eating still? 5 and 6. Some people are Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, first and the last. That is pretty profound what that covers. I'll give the spring of water life without payment. Some people said, see, we're going to eat and drink and be heaven. I don't know in heaven we're going to do that. I think you ever heard someone say hunger and thirst for righteousness? Those are desires for something more. I don't know that we're going to have physical bodies just like we have now that need to consume and need to take in. But he's going to give from this water of life, which we'll see what that is in a second. Verse 7, 8. This is a tough one. Jason, thanks for volunteering to read. You can ask it. Yes. A revitalized body. A glorified body.
Because he walked through the walls, but then they were able to touch him. Mm-hmm. And then he did eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think of a wedding feast and experiencing that. Yeah, I don't know. I go round and round. I don't think we're going to have to consume and be nourished in the same way. I think we can have those experiences. Maybe it's like just weird sci-fi stuff. Maybe we do all that and it doesn't matter. Like we take, it's like great, but we don't need it. Oh, that was a really nice meal. You know what I mean? I don't see a real good pattern for that throughout. But I also wouldn't say the body that Jesus had coming out of the grave is the replica of what everybody will have in the new heaven and the new earth forever. Because I think that was still confined to time and space of this world to some degree. A resurrected body with holes in his hands and tangible things like that. I do think we'll have new bodies, but I don't think it's just like better you, you know, 30 days shredded you. Okay. 7 and 8, Jason, 7 and 8. Does that feel good? Is that a real message? Why? Because they're going to burn forever? No. That's a facet of what they get. They don't have fellowship with the one forever. They're out of literal relationship with God forever, away from his presence, any of his grace forever. That's a pretty robust list, huh? You think those were intentional from the writer? Cowardly, faithless, detestable, murderers, sexually immoral. I'm going to tell you what the word means. It's like an all-encompassing immoral sex thing. So if it's bad sexually, it's included in that. It's not just perverts. Okay, that's not what that just means. There's people that try to redefine the category that word covers throughout all of your Bible, throughout all of early Greek literature, and it refers to all things sexually immoral. Opposite sex immoral things, same sex immoral things, sexual attacks toward people, perverted sexual desires, animals, children, things, all of it. Okay? It is All encompassing. Yo. Hopefully I can. Let's see. I thought about that, but I didn't. Let's look at it afterwards. Okay? I don't. Did Jesus include that?
Yes.
What did he say in his stump speech about being king someday in Matthew 5 through 7? About your eyes or your thoughts? You're guilty. Good news. Remember, we got to remember who's in. Who's in now?
Yeah, no, I understand that. It's the process that those that don't believe still struggle with the same things that I do. Mm-hmm. And that I was chosen different from them, even though I'm not different. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can't be about the issue. The issue, all this is doing is saying what? Nobody? Everyone needs help. Everyone needs to substitute. But we can't start redefining this list to make things acceptable. It's still about a person, and it's still about being inadequate. And so it's coming. It's out there. It's used today to redefine text as there's a belief system that is standing and becoming increasingly a minority to say sexuality matters across the board. It matters. And this is one of the primary passages we go to in defense, and they go to redefine, and it comes to a head. So you need to know. Broad category of all sexual sin, seen everywhere. Paul talks about it too, Romans 1. Okay, and they are separated forever. Verse 9, 10, and 11, Dan.
Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper.
Okay, you're going to start getting explanations of now what it looks like. This is, again, human words to describe the most glorious, most wonderful, most powerful thing that's come. 12 through 14, Caitlin.
It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
Pretty intentional language about connecting God's people to the eternal state. Both Israel and the apostles, the way they're lining up, north, east, south, this is very reminiscent when you go back to the Old Testament and see how they camped around the tabernacle and where the different camps fell. But very clear distinction here in 12 through 14 about the history of God's people and whose names are engraved to define the city. Is it a city that's a square or a cube or a pyramid? Have all been discussed. It's big. We know that. And now we're going to see it. 15 through 18, Roxanne. All right, hold, pause right there. 1,400 miles. Take Colorado. So go from Canada to the Gulf at the Colorado line. Go all the way to the East Coast, Maine, that part of the United States. That's how big this is. That's how big this city is. And it's the same, that distance, Denver to New York, let's just keep it conservative. You understand that. That distance, this way, and this way. Okay? And up. It's pretty big. Overwhelming. Keep reading.
He also measured its wall 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also
Okay. Foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, second sapphire, the third agate. Anybody into precious stones? Okay. Emerald, onyx, carnelian, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprase. Jacinth, you need to know this list for your test. No, you don't. These are just the most beautiful, most precious gems. Beauty here, okay, that you see. The street was pure gold like transparent glass. Those things are different. Pure gold like transparent glass. There's part of this is just pure. That's what you need to see, is there's just a purity to this that when you've seen a diamond sparkle or you've been in a jewelry store and the lights refract and all that different way and you just see a bunch of sparkles, that's the idea that's conjuring here. Trying to associate with what jewel means what, I think we're missing the point when it's about, it's pretty special. It's the best of the best. And I think, is this the place that Jesus said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you? I don't know. It's fun to think about. And he doesn't necessarily prepare, like our contractors prepare stuff, but best of the best is coming for those. Chad, 22 and 24, through 24. Pause. There was a millennial temple, so it tells me these are two different things, two different experiences. Place that had water, even though it was tainted, says now it doesn't have water. There's no temple here. There was a millennial temple there, so keep going.
And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its light is, and its lamp is the lamp.
Are we going to sleep? I don't know. I start to get really tired thinking about eternity and never sleeping. But again, this, we're scratching the surface of what could be when we think about this. Astrologically, all that was created. Have you ever seen those big pictures from the Hubble? That go on and on and on, and then they take a little point, and they're like, oh, by the way, we're right here. No more. Like, no more. All that's no sun, no moon, no none of those things. The light we live by is the glory of God, and its lamp is the lamp, Jesus. That's crazy to me. My science mind can't understand that, and I don't think my science mind's supposed to. I think my science mind's supposed to look at that and go, stupid science mind, just worship, right? 24, Chad, last one. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. Okay, why does it need gates and a wall? Because there's an attack from outside? No. It's helping people, especially churches, that this is a safe place. This is a place that God has designed and protected. It doesn't mean that there's the people outside in hell looking right outside the gates, just wanting to get in, and that's just torment the whole time. That's not what that means. They will bring into glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember, he's seen this thing of what will be and explaining and writing down a good news and a hopeful message for people. Because you're going to see very specifically Jesus like, hey, write this down and don't change it. Don't add to it. Don't take away. And if you teach anything different, it's trouble. Okay, that's what we'll get into. Lamb's Book of Life, that's the only time you see it called that. You see the Book of Life elsewhere, but the Lamb's Book of Life, that's the only time it shows up right there. Interesting. And then 22, Allison, 1 through 5. Yeah, could this be the tree that they were told to not eat of? Perhaps. But what you see is water of life flowing. Water of life is different than water. We can't tie in our science mind to when we see that. What's the water of life for us? Where's our life source? That's just going to be flowing and present everywhere, okay? The healing of the nations, that could raise up in an American Western reading. Somebody's sick and they need to keep eating this fruit to stay well. It's more like vitamins or supplements or like healthy. Like this is the thing that sustains you. It doesn't necessarily require that you have to eat it because you're tainted, because we read so many other places about how there's no bad here, no sickness, no disease, all that kind of stuff. But this source, the water of life, where it comes from, like a fruit nourishes people, will be that kind of nourishment for us for always. Again, don't finite it here. It's just got to blow your mind. 21 and 22, you just have to read and go. The end of the book. Come, Lord Jesus. That's where we should be, okay? Some people said that there's no time and space, but people would understand seasons, 12 months, even though the Jewish calendar had its months in different ways, they would understand that this is always providing for us. So it's probably more for that than, oh, it's January 1st, 6042. Okay, it's probably, I think those things go away. And I think, oh, we're with Jesus forever. So again, we're battling into two different worlds there. This is where it gets good. This is the encouragement. Think too, because I think Revelation, we've talked about, is telescopic. False summits in some ways, that you see a mountain, right? And you're like, oh, let's climb it. And then you get up to that top of the mountain and you see, didn't make it, got to keep going. Okay, there are those things for the churches immediately, and then the telescopic view of like, oh, things to come. Here is very encouraging pieces in 6 through 21 for chapters 2 and 3 churches. Because they've seen all these things that are to come. And now let me, by the way, encourage you with that. Chris, 6 and 7. Encouraging for us. What do red letters mean? Jesus is speaking. Okay. 8 and 9, Jeremiah.
I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God.
Good encouragement. Good for all of us to know. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Life's going to go on, and this is a message for all of life, all people at all stages where they're at. So don't seal up, don't hide it. Again, verse 12, Joel. Verse 12, and use your Jesus accent.
Look, I'm coming soon. Our Lord is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end.
We see God say those things earlier. Now we see Jesus say those things. Is there a Trinitarian view in Revelation? Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, you see that. Him claiming to make the same things God did. Perfect. Father, Son, Holy Spirit relationship, working to support each other in their roles, a triune God. Okay. 14. Who hasn't read? Who have I never called on? Wayne, 14.
Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they might have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. 4?
Yeah, 15. Nina.
I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star.
Do Do you see how many things he's connecting to the Old Testament in his own words? Tons. I mean, literally the whole book is being wrapped up right here. And I know Shay had talked about that, and we've talked about it probably from day one. He's the sum and substance all the way through. You'll find him all the way through. Okay? The hope that is Jesus, the Messiah that has come, that did die, that did get buried, that rose again. You see him all the way through, and he's connecting. He's the judge. I'm going to bring recompense. I'm going to repay everyone. And I'm righteous and holy because I can do that. And I have a standard to bear. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I never was not around. The beginning and the end. And even when time started, I was there.
What do you do with verse 15?
Outside are the dogs and sorcerers, section 4. I think they understand in a city type language that there are those who are out and then those who are in. So I think he's describing, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they might have their, I would go back to that too and be like, that seems symbolic, a washing of something. And I see that there are people separated. So what I think he's doing is using city context to go, there are those who in and there are those who are out. I think his vision of the new heaven and new earth end after 5 of 22. So I think these are his final words. So I think there's a shift instead of describing the eternal state. I think it's a shift to wrap up the book and almost say, hey, churches understand this. There's people on the you understand people on the outside and people on the inside. And that's what heaven's gonna be like in a form. Is that helpful? Where are we at? Testify about these things for the church. I'm the root. When you think root in the Old Testament, who's that associated with? Who?
Offspring,
yeah. Jesse, all the way back there, you think? Descendant of David, the bright morning star. That has a lot of prophetic implications that you see where that is. 17, let's see here. Everybody's looking down. Oh, Dylan, 17, read it. Let's see. Keep it going in the same row. Julie, 18. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God will take away his share of the tree of life and the holy city which are described in his book. This caused me much trouble in wanting to consider this book for residency. All the other stuff, I feel like I can just walk into and say, I want to understand. And I don't have everything perfectly nailed down in this book. This part doesn't scare the heck out of me. It scares me very deeply to see this. Hear the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues. If anyone takes away from the words, God will take away his share of the tree of life in the holy city you're describing this book. Now, I can come and settle ultimately that if what's prophesied about this book is pointing to Jesus, the one who's to come back, and then I take in context with the rest of scripture about him, that gives me a little hope if my answer is Jesus. If it's anything else, or I exalt any other argument up to the level of Jesus, I think I've missed it. But there's a clear warning here as he finishes out the book for that. Who wants to take us home? Question.
I'm curious. Does that pertain to just Revelation or the entire Bible?
I think particularly he's writing about Revelation. I think in history you see the closing of the canon here. So I wouldn't take you here to talk about the whole Bible. I'd take you to other places. But I think this is the last thing written. But I think he's specifically talking about these 22 chapters. And the apocalyptic nature, the prophecy of this. There's, no other New Testament books that do what Revelation does to say he's coming. Watch out. Yo.
When was Revelation written in correspondence to the other books? Like, I was told that it wasn't the last book written. It was actually written more towards, like, the Gospels.
That's a point of debate. We talked about when we opened it. Was it 60s and early on? Or was it John's last books that John wrote, 1, 2, 3 John, the Gospel of John and Revelation, later in the 90s? I would argue that it was then, and that it closed it. We don't have anything else coming after that in the New Testament. Nina's out. She doesn't like Revelation. Jordan, bring us home, dude. Bring us home, man. You're rounding third right now. Fist pumping Kirk Gibson. Let's do it. I'm so old. I'm so old. Actually, he would have been rounding first. That's not in the Bible. Stop teaching that.